Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so today we are strapping in for something pretty huge. It's less just a music announcement and, well, more like a global declaration from Doja Cat.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought maybe things were settling down around her, nope. The 29-year-old just dropped all the exhaustive details for her Tour Muvvy World Tour in 2026.
Yeah, it's a big one. Yeah. And it's all supporting Vi, right?
Yeah.
Her fifth studio album, the one that just came out.
Exactly. So our mission today, it feels kind of complex. We need to unpack the sheer scale of these dates. I mean, they run from spring 2026 right through December.
Wow.
And the sound, too, that specific 80s thing driving the album, which critics seem to love. And maybe most importantly, what this whole thing signifies, especially for an artist who, what, less than 3 years ago, basically swore she was quitting music.
You absolutely have to start there, that whiplash.
Right.
Because back in April 2022, she was like, really explicit about it, said she was quitting music, done, finished, after the weekend tour commitment was over.
That was supposed to be a full stop.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so fascinating looking back now is how much noise that made compared to how focused she seems to have been since then.
Yeah, the sources are pretty clear. That retirement, it just, it never stuck.
Not at all.
Since she said that, we've had multiple albums. She toured internationally in 23 and 24. She headlined Global Citizen in New York.
Right. And SNL, musical guest for the season 51 premiere.
Exactly. So yeah, retirement, maybe not the right word.
Or maybe it was a, I don't know, a very effective publicity move, whether she meant it that way or not.
Could be. It definitely led straight into what a lot of critics are calling her most, like, focused creative period.
Okay.
And this Tour Muvvy feels like the commercial peak of that acceleration.
Mm.
It's like she's moving past all the online drama and just building this huge, permanent global brand.
A strategic move then, after all that public scrutiny.
Seems like it.
Okay, so let's dig into the sound. The thing that's fueling this massive tour, Vi, drops September 22nd. What's the immediate buzz?
The buzz is equilibrium. Variety actually used that word, saying she appears to have found some sort of creative equilibrium.
Equilibrium. Okay, for an artist known for being, let's say, intentionally chaotic sometimes or always bending genres, what does that equilibrium actually, you know, sound like?
It sounds very 80s, like a super polished cosmic 80s groove-a-thon.
A groove-a-thon.
Yeah. NME gave it 4 stars, called it that, a groove-a-thon that refuses to quit, and they pointed specifically to the production. Zappy synths, slapping bass, and playful vocals.
See, that's the key, isn't it? The detail. You can't just slap a synth on and call it 80s.
No way.
You need the textures. And the sources mentioned that heavy use of drum machines, that classic gated reverb sound, even rainy night sax solos.
Mm-hmm. Those specific flourishes. That's what grounds it. It feels authentic, not just like a pastiche.
So a real commitment to the aesthetic.
Totally. And the homages are specific, too. Like the standout for me, the track AAH Men.
Okay.
It samples the theme song from Knight Rider, the classic TV show.
No way, that Knight Rider.
Yes. And that's not just a simple loop, you know? That takes some real production skill to integrate properly, understanding how those old TV scores worked.
Okay, that's a deep cut reference that makes the whole 80s thing feel really deliberate.
Exactly.
But let's be real for a second. This smooth, critically approved groove-a-thon, is that what the average fan who blasted Say So wants? Or is this more about maybe stabilizing her image, winning over critics after all the noise?
Well, I think it might be both. And that's kind of the clever part, isn't it?
How so?
The aesthetic, the sound, it definitely feels like it's showing maturity, range, maybe aiming for that critical approval.
Yeah.
But the songs themselves, they're still incredibly catchy, still pop, still radio-friendly structure underneath the gloss.
Okay, so it bridges the gap.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were just going to sample, say, 5 tracks from Vi, you'd start with Cards. It's got these instantly grabbing, seductive horns.
Okay, Cards. Got it.
Then the big single Jealous Type, which is really free-flowing.
Yeah.
And definitely AAH Men. With that Knight Rider sample, it just sounds huge, like a video game soundtrack almost.
Right, the breakout tracks. What about the deeper cuts, the ones that really show off that equilibrium?
Okay, for deep cuts, definitely check out Stranger. It's described as pure pop confection. Sweet, but still got that vibe.
Mm.
And there's All Mine. It's this yearning, high-pitched R&B ballad. That's where you really hear her vocal range.
Okay.
And you absolutely cannot skip the SCA duet Take Me Dancing.
Oh, nice. SCA is on there.
Yeah. And it works really well. Shows she can collaborate within this new sound without losing her own thing.
Good point. And how does the album wrap up?
It closes with a track called Comeback. The description is, Urgent yet classy.
Urgent yet classy. Interesting combo.
Yeah, and apparently this is the one that sources are already saying will have entire arenas singing along on the tour next year. It kind of perfectly blends that R&B feel with the new 80s drive.
Okay, that sets the stage perfectly for the tour itself then. Let's talk about the scale. Because committing to May through December 2026, that's not just a tour, that's a statement.
It really is.
Yeah.
A statement about longevity, about global reach.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
And it raises questions too, right? About stamina, planning.
Absolutely. A tour that long, covering that much ground globally, it means hitting pretty much every major market.
So where does it kick off?
Starts in Europe, May and June 2026.
Yeah.
Hitting some huge venues right out of the gate. Glasgow's OVO Hydro on May 21st.
Okay.
London's O2 Arena, the big one, May 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Then over to Berlin, the Uber Arena, June 17th.
So establishing that global presence immediately.
Mm-hmm. Then it's back for the North American leg, and the part is just relentless.
Yeah, it looks like it starts October 2026.
Right. Kicks off in Detroit, October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Then Chicago on the 3rd. Heads west to Vancouver by the 13th.
Uh-huh.
Then down to LA, the Kia Forum, Inglewood. That's October 22nd.
Wow, just crisscrossing the continent.
Totally. It's designed for maximum reach. Pushes right through November, too. Miami, D.C., Toronto.
Making sure everyone gets a chance to see the show, which makes sense if this is tied to refining her brand, like you said.
Exactly. Accessibility is key there.
And the grand finale, where does it all wrap up?
Madison Square Garden.
Hmm.
New York City.
Of course.
Tuesday, December 1st. Ending it at MSG. That's the ultimate stamp of approval, isn't it?
Huge. It screams, I'm a permanent global headliner, especially after, you know, the quitting music chapter.
Absolutely. Now, for you listening, the practical stuff if you're thinking about tickets.
Right. Important details.
The official on sale date is Friday, October 3rd. So mark your calendars.
October 3rd. Got it. And the ticketing platform.
It's Vivid Seats. They're the official ticketing partner for this tour.
Okay. And Vivid Seats. That's a secondary market platform, right? So people need to be aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. They offer a 100% buyer guarantee, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's secondary market, the prices are driven by demand.
Mm-hmm.
They could be higher, sometimes lower than the original face value. Just something to keep in mind for a high demand tour like this one.
Good tip. Okay, so we have the sound, the scale. Let's circle back to how this all ties together with her persona. The whole 80s aesthetic meeting the controversy magnet.
Well, the whole lead up to the album release was very theatrical, wasn't it? It reinforced that vibe from day one.
You mean the Apple Music thing?
Yeah. Their first ever live streamed album release party. It wasn't just music. They apparently did a full 1980s themed club makeover. The visuals were locked in right away.
Setting the stage, literally.
Mm-hmm. And there was that quote that came out of that event, supposedly from her.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Something like, don't worry about what people say about you on the internet.
Okay, that's pretty direct.
Yeah.
Especially considering.
Considering the very controversy she kicked off in 2022. It feels like a mission statement, right? An instruction to the audience. Forget the noise. Just focus on the art, on the show.
It's pretty masterful brand management, you have to admit. Acknowledge the chatter, but redirect focus.
Yeah, and we can kind of see how that redirection plays out in her live shows.
How so? You mean looking at recent set lists?
Exactly. Take the Outside Lands Festival set list from August 8th. It's a great example of how she balances her different eras.
Okay, so what was on there? The big hits.
Oh, yeah. You absolutely get the massive must-play hits. Woman, Kiss Me More, Say So.
Yeah.
She has to deliver those for the crowd.
Sure, I gotta play the hits.
But then she weaves in the new stuff really smoothly. That set had Paint the Town Red, Agora Hills, the recent chart toppers.
So integrating the Vi era seamlessly.
Yeah, right. But what's really interesting and speaks directly to that provocateur side she still embraces is the encore choice.
Oh, what was the encore?
It's apparently designed to remind everyone that the online noise doesn't actually change who she is deep down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't keep us in suspense.
According to the sources detailing that set list, after all the polished hits, old and new, the encore was the explicit track, Wet Vagina.
Wow. Okay. That's a choice.
It's not just a choice. It's a statement, right? A power move, like you said earlier.
He just finally sends a message.
Total audacity.
Okay.
After months building up this critically praised creative equilibrium with the 80s sound, she ends the show with something guaranteed to get people talking, remind them she's still provocative, still controls the narrative, controversy and all.
So bringing this all together, what does it mean for you, the listener, trying to make sense of it all.
Well, what we're seeing is this fascinating synthesis, right? An artist who flirted with retirement, maybe used that pause, intentional or not, to find this very specific, critically lauded 80s sound. She found that equilibrium, and now she's using her proven knack for generating buzz, both positive and controversial, to launch and likely sell out this absolutely massive career-defining global tour.
It really feels like the defining artistic statement for her, at least up to this point.
I'd agree. Now, if you're listening and you're drawn to this kind of vibe, the high energy, the provocative edge mixed with pop and hip-hop, the sources actually suggested a few other artists with similar sensibilities who are also touring in 2025 or 2026. Kind of a, if you like this, check out these lists.
Oh, cool. Who's on the list?
Yeah.
For further exploration.
Definitely check out tour dates or new music from Cardi B, Azealia Banks, Ducci, Glorilla, and Mariah the Scientist.
Okay, that's a strong list. All artists who occupy that similar space, compelling, sometimes controversial, commercially powerful women in music.
Yeah, it's a really dynamic space right now. Lots happening.
So we started this deep dive talking about her alleged advice. Don't worry about what people say about you on the internet. And yet it was her own statement about quitting 3 years ago that created so much of the friction, the online talk, that now seems to be fueling this huge comeback.
It's a paradox, isn't it?
It really is. So the final thought we want to leave you with is this. How much does an artist's public drama, whether it's declaring retirement or stirring controversy, actually help them? How much does it shape or even fuel their next big creative wave, their next commercial success? Is the noise just part of the marketing now? A necessary ingredient?
Something to think about.
Definitely something to mull over. Until the next deep dive.